Hello and welcome to the LCI Podcast. My name is Justin Hutchison. I'm the online pastor and media director here at Life Church, and welcome to another episode of the LCI Podcast. Today's an exciting one because I got some great friends here to join us here on the LCI Podcast. We got Ryan Compton, Jeremiah V. Hill, and Ashley Loring. How are y'all feeling today?
Okay.
Feel good.
Yeah? Excited?
Yeah.
Yeah? Super excited? We're all just jumping out of our seats right now because we're going to be talking about something that affects all of us. I think just to start off, here at Life Church, we have such an array of people in different stages of life, different careers, different paths. So we have so much to pull from. And then when Pastor Miranda, Joseph and I were sitting down and talking about it, I really felt like, oh, wow, we have a lot of owners, business owners here at Life Church with unique perspectives to talk about something that we don't necessarily correlate with Christianity and business. They don't tend to mesh, or at least people don't talk about it that much. I feel like when I look at business, I mean, your beliefs really have no impact when you're looking at books or help books or anything like that. It's mainly just strictly business. I mean, sales, capture rates, getting new clients, new customers, and that's all it really focuses on. But I think we come from a unique perspective, maybe a benefit and a blessing, but sometimes challenge. Sure. As Christians, as believers, followers of Christ, stepping into this field that isn't necessarily associated with religion and sometimes wants to be separated. But we still have to hold to our beliefs. Sure. And we still have to be Christians and yeah, followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also really unique that all of us here are business owners, but we all have a prevalent role at Life Church. I mean, mm-hmm, Ryan, you're the worship pastor here at Life Church, mm-hmm, and Jeremiah, the administrative pastor, pretty much my boss, tells me what to do. Mm-hmm. And Ashley, of course, being in charge of Mom's Life and doing a great job with that. And I think it's just unique that we have this array of people who can really talk and speak to that point of challenge, but of opportunity to be a believer, to shed the light of Christ in the business workforce, but then also have to be professional and make it a right way. So I think before we start, maybe just taking a second, kind of introducing what you do, real brief, what you do, your career path and what you do. Ashley, how about we start with you?
Okay, so I am the owner, operator, and lead teacher of Miss Ashley's Love Bugs Childcare and Wee School. When people call it a daycare, I kind of start twitching in my right eye. I started off in that way, but now it is childcare. I have my hours are 7:30 to 4, and I take in littles 2 to 4 years of age and help prepare them and get them ready for either all-day preschool or kindergarten.
Right. That's awesome. Jeremiah?
Yeah. I've been doing this about 25 years off and on, and then from 2011 till now, I've been doing it full time. But looking at how things are going, what we do is called Utility Audit Incorporated.
Okay.
And essentially, we're forensic auditors, and we try and save our clients as much revenue as possible through their utility billing.
Great.
And in doing that, there's a plethora of ways to do that. So
yeah,
going into it, we're almost kind of like boring accountants, and it's like watching paint dry many days, but we're definitely blessed, and I'm thankful for where we're at.
Awesome. How about you, Ryan?
I'm the president and CEO of Compton Plumbing Services. We are a commercial plumbing contractor. That's what we do. We do plumbing.
I was going to say, it's in your name.
And it's in the name. That is what we do.
It's literally what you do.
Been doing it since I was 13. Took over for my father, who started the company in 1980. I took over in, I believe, 2016, maybe 17, as owner operator. And it's been quite a ride.
Yeah. And I'm owner of Home Protect Pest Solutions, very new company. But we specialize in pest control, termite control, all that jazz. And I say we, but it's owner operator, so it is literally me. It's you, me, myself, and I.
That's right.
And but it's posed to grow. So I thought it was really exciting that we have such an opportunity to have four people in our church with prevalent roles in the church leadership be business owners and have that way to connect. And so I thought it'd be a great time to sit down and talk about that. So I thought it'd be cool to first talk about that moment stepping into this position initially, maybe the fears and everything that comes with it, to where you are now and how drastically different that might be. How about Ryan? How about we start on this side? How are you now than when you were when you started?
It was interesting. Well, I mean, when I took over as owner, it was quite an abrupt thing. My father, who started the company, he decided I want to be out of here, and gave me a few month notice. And he walked out and was gone. So
no phone call.
He retired.
He retired and was
straight
gone.
To voicemail.
Yes. So it was. I worked a lot of very very long days for probably the first 2 years of doing it.
Sure.
Slowly learned to delegate to the point where now I am working just a normal 10-hour day, not a 14 or 16-hour day.
Yeah.
Is a lot of learning, a lot of doing things not necessarily wrong, but making mistakes that if I had been doing it for 20 years, probably wouldn't have made. But God's been good through it all, and we've never had a bad year. It's been a lot of years that could have been better if I was more equipped at the beginning. But it's been a blessing the whole time.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely a journey. I think from where I was all those years ago to now, it's almost night and day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
You can't measure success with, you know, revenue or income.
Sure.
Like, yeah. I think the whole paradigm shifts to where success now is more like, okay, now I get to spend more time with my kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have the flexibility, and time's the biggest commodity there is. And just that flexibility to be there and do that and have the ability to even, you know, say, okay, I'm going to work a long hour today.
Sure.
That's huge. And to me, that's the greatest level of success besides, you know, looking at where you were year over year.
Of course.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ashley?
So for me, I think when I first started my business, it was out of necessity. I needed to be able to stay at home and make some extra income. And I couldn't find childcare that if I could afford it, it was petrifying and I didn't want to send my kid there. Or if I loved it, it was out of our price range. So I felt God lead me to start my company. And I was really excited to start it. I was almost naive, not understanding all the business aspects of it. It's like, sure, I can love children, no problem. And now from who I was back then to who I am today, now it's more of a ministry. And it wasn't back then. It was absolutely out of necessity. And how many kids can I get in and what can I handle, versus now it's about the families and the quality of the relationships that I'm building and helping the whole family unit versus just the child. So it's really taken a leap for me in that aspect, that every family that comes to my door, it is more ministry for me than it is my bottom line. And so that's good for me, how both of my ministry and mom life and how my business, it's more my ministry that I simply am able to make money at now. So it's very different from when I first started.
That's cool how it kind of just transitioned into
that. It did transition,
that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, like for me, you know, because I've been a business owner for such a short time, but I've been in the industry for a while. I did more of that sticker shock of now it's not just the trade. Mm-hmm. It's not just killing bugs, but it's, you know, accounting and scheduling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and insurance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And ownership and mm-hmm. everything that comes with it. It's almost like now all of a sudden now I wear way more hats than I did before. Mm-hmm. Before I was just the grunt that did the job and got the paycheck.
Yeah.
Right.
But now it's like
there's a lot
my eyes are opening up
yeah.
and realizing that, man, I need some help.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the great things is just surrounding yourself with people that are there for you mm-hmm. and that you can trust, but also that have unique experience down a path that you're kind of heading towards.
Yeah.
Like I rely on you guys pretty heavily because I come to you about questions a lot, especially Jeremiah. He gets my texts all the time. And I've texted Ryan about a few things and because I can trust you guys, but I know you guys on the business side, even though it's a different trade, even though it's a different career path, business is business.
Yeah.
And a lot of that it correlates. And so having people surrounded helps me. This next step when me jumping in full force and going in full time and trying to, you know, grab more customers and grow the business, mm-hmm. You know, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, not only do I rely with you guys, but I rely a lot on Christ. Because, I mean, there have been times, you know, I'm not saying I'm a big baby, but there are times where, you know, I get overwhelmed sometimes to be like, man, am I growing fast enough? Is this going to be where I want it to be in a few years? Is it, you know, this is my baby. Like, I'm growing this into what I want it to be to help provide for my family and give a future for my little one. And you know, a lot of it just goes to prayer.
Yeah.
Like there have been times where I had to like wait a couple of minutes before I head to my next stop because I need to find a parking lot and pray about something that happened at work and someone that was disgruntled about something that was out of my hands and how am I supposed to handle this, or I'm the boss now. I can't just pass it off to my boss and let him handle it.
And you don't even have to deal with employees yet.
Yeah, and I don't have to deal with employees yet.
I don't have that part yet.
Yeah, there are a lot probably, from what I hear, a lot of prayer coming from what I hear. Have there been times in your career path and where you're at and in your journey where you just had to really lean heavily on Christ? Jeremiah, have there been times where it just, you needed God?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, scripture tells us that God gives and takes away, and I think there's wisdom in that. But I think every day you have to rely on Christ. You can't you can't just do it on your own at all and seek counsel. You know, there's wisdom in doing that, like how you text people for advice and stuff like that. Like scripture tells you to surround yourself with wisdom so you can have some better perspective on seeing things, just not in your own point of view. But yeah, there's definitely seasons where, you know, things have been tough and you're living off of the surplus from, you know, the previous quarter or the previous years. And, you know, thank God you had the foresight to plan ahead.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you do have to rely on God. And I think you have to rely on God even more heavily, not just in the times where things are not as great, but especially when things are in a surplus. Because I think the true tell of a person, a woman or a man, is what you're doing when you're on cloud nine, when you're on the top.
Right.
You know, when you don't so-called need God to, you know, help you out.
Yes.
And so you really got to rely on God to like keep you focused, keep you in line. Mm-hmm. And I think, it's an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Anyone else?
I mean, I've had a couple, I think you guys know about one instance that I did on a devotion where I had one instance where somebody made a mistake, very, very expensive mistake.
Sure.
And the big thing was in my position is I cannot control the solution. So I can send people to control the solution. I can provide them with all of the equipment, whatever they need, but you have to just sit back there and hope that they fix it. Mm. And if they don't, it can cost you everything. And so there's only one, at that point, there's one person you turn to and you spend a lot of time in prayer.
Yeah.
And then there's every day there's in what I do is anybody at any time can make a catastrophic mistake.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I try to surround it's a thing I go through where I pray for, especially my supervisors every day, that they make good decisions. And that even the lower level employees don't do something that is catastrophic.
Sure.
So, I spend a lot of time asking God to keep everybody in line when I can't be there. You can't be there. You can't.
He's always watching.
All
yeah.
All the time.
That's awesome. Ashley, anything?
So, I mean, Christ is, in all of my interviews with all of my families, when they sit down with me, the very first thing we discuss is that I am a Christian-based childcare. And so they know every single day that, and we say we attend Life Church and we do all the things. And so they know that. I have some families that have come through that are, well, that's fine, we're atheists, but we're cool with that if you are. And so I'm like, okay. And so every day at circle time, I ask my littles, does anyone have a prayer request or something they would like to share? We pray every day together. Right now, the littles are old enough that I ask who wants to pray for our meals. So that's all wonderful and good. And I love implementing that in my little love bugs. But at the same time, my families know where to come when they have issues and they have problems. And so I'll have moms come to me that are going through really heartbreaking situations. And a year ago, we had a really heartbreaking situation happen on our street. And my entire love bug family came around me and prayed with me. And two of the families don't attend church. And they came and hugged me and said, can I pray for you? I don't know how to pray, but I'm going to try. So I call on God every day, because when you're using God's love and God's power in what I do when trying to be an extension of Him. He is definitely a part of everything that I do. And so I want my love bugs to know, even if they're not getting it anywhere else, that God is real and God loves them. So I call That's on awesome. Him every day to help me. I
love how upfront you are with it.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Okay. So I think I'm a solo entrepreneur right now, so I have no employees. So I can't, but I have been in managerial positions at a formal pest control company. I was service manager and we did hiring and stuff like that. But I think you specifically, for someone who's listening or watching online, might benefit from this. What are some key characteristics you look for when you look for someone in the workforce to join your team? Because ultimately, they're joining your company, your vision, your what you have developed. I think it's important. I think hiring makes or breaks a lot of times the trajectory of your future when it comes to the business. So what are some key characteristics you're looking for, and what's some words of advice for someone who's looking to jump into a career, a specific career path? What are some things that they should do to try to help themselves towards that position?
So I Anyone? Think, I'll use advice my dad gave me a long time ago. We had an employee that was an employee come in and ask for a very large raise that he didn't think was worth the money. But he said he has the most important characteristic that any employee can have. He shows up every day, he shows up on time, and he works hard the entire time he's here. And so gave him the raise, even though you don't think skill-wise, he's worth it. And I would say anybody, any career, especially this generation, because this generation I feel like struggles with it, is you have to consider your career. It has to be a priority. It doesn't have to be the main priority, but it can't just be, that's what I do for money and I don't care about it. You have to commit to it. You have to get there on time, whatever that is. You have to work hard and do your job. And the skill will come. The experience will come. Yeah. All of that stuff will come. The one thing that your employer asks of you is to give them a honest day's work. And if you do that, you will succeed in whatever it is. You will learn the trade. You will learn the skills. Obviously, there are some, you can't be a doctor and just show up and not have any skill. You have to, you know,
didn't work for me. I tried, you know.
But anyway,
That's awesome. Anyone else?
For me, it's going to be a genuine love for children, right?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
and so, I mean, I get it all the time. Like, I could never be with kids all day. So you kind of need to be able to like children. Everything else can be taught. I can show you the curriculum. I can teach you our procedures and what we do. So it's like Ryan said, like the skill sets can be taught. But I'm looking for a passion and genuine love for kids. There's someone that attends our church. And when I have her watch my kids, like she loves my kids. She won't even talk to me. She'll just run out, go love the kids. And other people, other babysitters I've had come in are like, all right, so what time are you going to be back? You know, that kind of thing. So I can read that when I'm looking for who I would like to come into my home. It's in my home. And so I'm very careful on who we bring in and who, if I wouldn't let them be with my kids, then I tend to get that vibe and wouldn't necessarily hire them. So I want to know that they love the children and everything else for me can be taught. So I'm looking for a passion for what we do.
I get that. Michaela, my wife, who's a teacher, like she goes and she deals with kids all day, and then she comes home and deals with two kids, my little guy and me, right? And so she has to like always be around kids, but she does it so lovingly, and I get that. She tells me all the time, it's like you can just tell who has a love for children.
Yeah, you have to have a heart for that.
You have to have a heart after that. I get that, and I think like that kind of love that's poured upon you by God, and having that love of Christ inside of you helps you with patience and temperament and all of that jazz. But at the same time, it's like you just have to love children. I get that.
Yeah,
we want you to love children. If you're a teacher and you don't love children, I don't know if I want you to love guys.
Didn't love teaching. Well, I just have a couple of things to maybe add to what Ryan and Ashley said, but especially today, like I'm surprised how many people can't write an email or just present themselves as a good representative of the company they're representing or who's hired them. And just some of those soft skills that have been lost and just the way you present yourself, the way you hold your posture and the way you talk to people is a really good way to determine if someone will be a good fit. Our company does affiliates, so they're pretty much all 1099 contractors, so I don't have to worry about the W-2 stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when we vet people out, whether it's through a Teams meeting or a Zoom call, we have to make sure, okay, are these people going to actually produce, mm-hmm. you know, because we're a performance-based company, and we want to make sure they're going to put a good forward, you know, foot forward,
yeah.
And you could pretty much tell right away, and you don't want someone who's, you know, just can't spell or, yeah. you know, have an issue with that. Yeah. So I think for me, you have to have some of those soft skills.
Well, we deal a lot with, it's a trade. So yeah. we deal a lot with people's personal issues. Mm-hmm. And when you find somebody that you don't have to deal with that, mm-hmm. I mean, you will do almost anything for them mm-hmm. to keep them happy, because so many people, either they have issues showing up, and that's usually, it could be substance abuse, it could be issues at home, it could be whatever they're dealing with. And as, even though we are Christians, most people that work for us probably are not. And so you're having to deal with all of their personal issues. And so that's why I say, if you can find anybody, and those people, I will take care of them. I had one that, he had a relative died recently. He had no vacation time. I was like, whatever. I will, you know, here you go. Take your 3-4 days and go take care of what you got to take care of, because they show up every day.
Yeah. Right.
They do their job.
Right.
They're a good family person. And I don't have to worry. I can hand them this job and say, do it.
Yeah.
And they will do it. And I don't have to worry about it. And I will do anything for them.
That's good.
Yeah, 100%. You don't want someone else's emergency to become your crisis.
Yeah.
Or their crisis to become your emergency.
And so often it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And I like the professional side of that. You know, so when I text you, hey, bro, can I come over for pest control?
Unprofessional.
So unprofessional. I don't know. I promise you, I don't say bro to everybody, just my bros, all right?
Need a form email, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dearest, that's awesome. Sir. Well, like, you know, me jumping into this relatively new as an owner and stuff like that, I have realized there is a lot of pressure as an owner of a company. Not only are your life impacted by your decisions, but the direction of your company impacts your employees, impacts mm-hmm. their families, their wealth, their income, you know. So there's a lot of decisions and a lot of things I feel like sometimes as an owner that are just not necessarily, you know, highlighted, but we deal with on a daily basis, making decisions that will affect, you know, the future, you know. Yeah. And so I think there's a lot of pressure on your shoulders to make wise decisions and be good and be happy every time you go into the office, even if you don't feel happy, you know, you're setting the mood of the office, you know, and doing all these things. And then, you know, I don't know about you, but there have been days where I come home, I'm just tired, I'm worn out, I don't feel like talking, I don't whatever, but I have a family that loves me and I need to be outpouring to them. So there's a balance that you have to work on. So let's speak to that. What are some things that you as an owner, as someone who works a lot out 10 hours a day, I don't work that many hours right now, but I'm the boss, so I set my hours, but I spread them out.
Technically, I do.
Yeah, well, that's true. You have a lot more responsibility than I do, but and I'll probably get there. I'll probably work 12 hours before I want to hire my first employee. But what are some things that you do to try to balance that? To share yourself. Sometimes you feel like you don't have enough to share.
Yeah.
But to share yourself reasonably to where you're effective in all different areas of your life. Anyone want to speak up on that topic there?
I can. So this is one for me that took a lot of time for me to understand. But the number one thing is, when I first started, I was so eager for parents to choose me out of anybody that was out there that I was willing to do whatever the parents needed. So whatever the hours that the parents needed, absolutely, I'm available for you. So I remember when I very first started, I think I accepted kids and had kids arrive at 5:30 in the morning, and then they wouldn't pick up until 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. Plus, I was also in the season of having my own children and my own babies, and it was not, well, kind of. I had them all very close together, so it was very trying. I always tease that the first 5 years I cried every day as a mom, but it was because I was also launching my business.
Sure.
And so for me, it was establishing the boundaries. And I was so nervous that every time I pulled back my hours or set them back, that I was going to lose families. But the more I brought up my standards of quality that I needed for my own family, I also received quality families that started coming in. And so I started being closed on Fridays in the summer so we could do fun Fridays with mom so I could be present with my own children. I thought I would lose everybody. I wouldn't have any kids. And I have a wait list. Like, it's wonderful. And when I changed my hours and said, you know what, we're going to do 7 to 4:30. I'm going to follow my kids' school year schedule and I'm going to have spring breaks and fall breaks. I was able to go ahead and realize that people would work around me as long as I was willing to love their kids the way that they needed. That's good. That was something for me to understand, to also be present wherever my feet are planted. So if I'm at church, I'm present at church. That's one of my main boundaries. I'm not answering text message from parents or anything else like that. When I'm with my family, I'm present with my family. When I'm at work, I'm at work. And it's, as a parent, it's tricky because if I get a call from the school, then I'm like, text my husband, can you go get the kid? They're sick or whatever. But that would be within any industry, I think. So with me, setting my boundaries and understanding that if my product that I'm offering is worth value, then the right people will come and choose you as well. So that was a huge boundary lesson for me to learn and understand that I'm worth it and people will come if I'm arriving the way that I should be.
It's really good. Anyone else want to jump in on that?
I mean, part of it is in what I do, it does help in that they start very early. They get done at times where you do have the evenings free usually. But part of it too is you have to learn when to say I've got enough and I can't take more. Because you could, like I could work all day long until I go to bed.
Right.
But you have to be able to say, this can be done tomorrow. And these things, I have to get these things done today. And you have to learn to prioritize.
Yeah.
This is right now. And that stuff has to get done. And I can't put it off forever, but I don't have to do it today. And because as a business owner, there's always something. It never is. Sure. You're never done. Mm-hmm. So just learning how to prioritize and how to, know when to say no. That's enough for today. I can't do anymore. And to be able to turn it off. That's actually a skill. Mm-hmm. Some people don't have the skill of saying, it's done. Even if you're having a crisis, is right now I can't fix the crisis.
Sure.
So I have to be able to turn that off and go, all right, it's time with family. It's time for church.
Yeah, I get that. I get that specifically from firsthand because I've spoken to you. I actually spoke to both of you guys about it. I had an account that I just was having issues with, and it wasn't necessarily something I was doing. It was something they weren't doing to help the problem. And it was almost, there were some conversations that I felt like were getting a little heated, and not from my point, but from frustration on his end. And, there was nights where, I was done for the day. Yeah. Like literally, I had no more stops that day, but my mind was on it all night long.
Right. Yeah.
Michaela's like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like,
It's hard to just turn that off.
I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to say to him tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I got wisdom from you guys, and I did a lot of prayer on it, and God really worked it out. I mean, it worked out perfectly for me, and everything just worked out great, and it was in God's hands. But it was like one of those things. These are going to keep me up at night if I let this bother me when there's a family around me that loves me and wants my attention, and I want to give that attention.
Right.
But it's like, I think it's a skill. I think it's something you have to work on.
It takes some effort.
It'll kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've already lost my hair, so we need to start working on this. It's too late. I just think that's where relying on friends and family, but also like on Christ, and just put it in God's hands sometimes. Because honestly, there's nothing I could have done from 5 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning that would have even affected him.
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing
right.
I could have done
but
that would have affected
him.
But it would ruin my whole evening
if I let it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I get that 100%, and I'm growing. It's getting there. But anything you want to add to that, Jeremiah?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could ruin your evening and then your whole weekend because your wife's mad at you for doing that.
Yeah.
No, there's a couple of things. I mean, I completely agree with everything you guys said, the boundaries and setting clear expectations, but also communicating with your kids, communicating with your spouse. Mm-hmm. Being like, okay, look, this is a particularly weird time right now, and it's going to be a little longer, so be patient with me while I'm doing this. And if I look like I'm wandering mentally, it's because I am. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about stuff in the back of my head, and it's not because you're not important. It's just I'm trying to separate it, like Ryan was saying.
Yeah.
I have a call. I do a lot of Zoom calls with our clients, and there's one particular one that happens every other Friday morning, and I actually hate this call. And it's not nothing bad. It's just for some reason, just one client gives me a lot of stress. That's really sure. And I put it on myself because it's actually a very, very excellent relationship that we have. But there's always a lot of reporting, and you know, Thursday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon, I'm like, okay, we got this call on Friday. And I'm only on, you know, column X of row, you know, 3000. And I got quite a bit more to go on this. And I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to get this done? And then, yeah, you have to stop. Mm-hmm. You have to stop and just be like, okay, I'm going to tell the client no, or, you know, delegate it to something else.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, the boundaries are definitely important.
Huge. They're everything.
And I think your spouse and your kids, they understand.
Sure.
They understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think they did. And they're going into it with you. Like as much as you hold the weight of decisions making and all that jazz, you know, they get to hold a little bit of weight as well, you know.
For sure.
You know, they have to deal with you.
Well,
right?
And it stings because they're kind of the tell. Your kids are the tell. They'll be like, Mom, why is Dad in a bad mood? And when they say it verbally, you're like, Oh, I'm a jerk. You know? you have to stop and be like, I'm sorry, guys. Okay, let's make dinner, whatever we gotta do.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah, I think there's a lot to it. And I think it's something that you know, statistically, I don't know the exact statistic, but the truth is a lot of first-time business owners, they just fail. They don't make it. You know, first couple of years, it's the first of what, 3 or 4 years is really the make it or break it moment.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that, though, is there's people that can do a job and they look at it and go, well, I could make a lot more money if I was doing my own business. And we talked about it when you were thinking about it. Is they have no clue. Doing the actual job is like 50% of the job.
100%.
When you start a business, there's another 50% that nobody sees.
Yeah, I said that.
You don't get paid for it.
Yep.
It eats your time.
Yes.
Yeah. No, so. I get that 100%. That's what I was saying. Like when you were mentioning it too, and we were talking about it, and like I jumped in full throttle. Yeah.
Let's go.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. I'm not just spraying bugs anymore.
No, there's a lot.
Like I'm not, but so now I'm more. Purchasing chemical. I need to find out what chemicals are the cheapest because that when you're there, you know, that are effective, but are cheaper. Can I get it cheaper down the street? You know,
accounting,
a few dollars,
advertisement,
and all this jazz, you know, I'm my own media accountant. Like there's a lot of things to it. And so maybe someone here today is listening or watching online and they're thinking about making that step. Maybe they've been in a career path for a while. They just feel like you said, they're ready to take that step. Mm-hmm. What would be a sliver of advice you would give that person before they make that jump, before they step into that position? Because I'll be honest with you, it's life-changing, you know, and it changes everything almost instantly. Mm-hmm. It's like now all of a sudden, you know, things are a lot different. What is some words of advice you would give someone taking that first step?
I would say make sure you're ready to really work hard.
Yeah.
And because it's not, however hard you think it's going to be slightly harder. But once you get into it and once you get the routine down and you learn to set the barriers, there's nothing more rewarding. Like I'm sure there's a doctor out there who loves his job, but owning a business, being successful at a business, and watching it grow it's very, very rewarding. Mm. So if you're willing to put in the time, if you're willing to put in the effort and you're willing to give it everything you've got, go for it. If time off, if days where I just need a day to myself, if that's important to you, don't do it.
Yeah.
You don't get personal days. No, you don't get
personal days. Asher?
I would say if it's childcare you're looking at, give me a call. I have so much to say to this. And I would say stop and pray. Like that is the very first thing to do. Don't do anything else. Stop and pray. And then my husband and I play this game. We call it highs and lows, but it's our own version where we play out best case scenario and worst case scenario. So we play out best case scenario. We're excited and we're like, okay, if this blows up in our face, what does it look like? And so if you're thinking about any type of business, what do you need in order to go into it? Like don't just count your costs. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Count your costs when it comes to it. And also the emotional and mental costs it's going to take. it was just, I mean, I've been doing this 13 years, and it was just this last year that I left with it fully operating and had people covering for me and working for me. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like, okay, it's okay. Everything's fine. Everything's mm-hmm. right. Okay. And it was very nerve wracking, but it took 13 years to get there. And so count your costs, but absolutely stop and pray. God guided me into this. I know that he opened up the door for me to do it. And so anything that God's in, he'll bless. Yeah. So for me, that's why I believe it's been so successful, and I've leaned on him the rest of the way. Yeah, and if it's childcare, come see me.
Come see you. All right.
I would say if you're really thinking about it, you've probably been thinking about it for a while. And the longer you think about something, it just gets put off. There's one of my favorite Bible verses in Proverbs. Says the farmer who waits for perfect weather never plants.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's just, that hits me every time because like I read it and I'm like, why am I waiting? I just need to do this.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean you go in, you know, without planning the cost. I mean, even in scripture, it says the builder plans for all the costs and the contingencies. And I say, if you're going to start your own business or you're thinking about it, do a slow fade from your normal 9 to 5 to doing the new
job. Oh, that's
side
good.
Because,
do it as a side hustle. You know, you have your 9 to 5, and then from 6 o'clock to midnight, you can work on your new business. Not that you would stay up that late.
Right.
But, I mean, you have all that time to do something and do it slowly. Build your website, register what you ever need to register, get your licenses. And then if you're the breadwinner, I think it's specifically important, have a reserve if possible. I know Dave Ramsey says, okay, do a 3-month or a 6-month reserve. I know that's not always ideal.
Ideal, right.
But I mean, if you could do that, have a reserve. So that way you could focus 100% on your business and not worry if you're going to pay the light bill next
month. Yeah. Because unless you're extremely lucky, you're probably not going to make very much money your first year or two. You're just not.
Right. Yeah. You say that typically it's the first 2 years that you don't really make any kind of profit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, speaking on that, you know, my word of advice would be don't be a slave to comparison.
Oh, for sure.
Because I have in the industry.
It's not somebody else.
Exactly. Yes. And I have people in the industry that I know that own pest control companies, and they're friends of mine. But then I look at their year two. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, they already have an employee. Like they already have a second truck. And I'm looking at them like, man. And there was a point where I was looking at it, I was like kind of getting a little, not depressed, but just a little worried. Mm-hmm. And then Michaela had to sit me down and just kind of show me the numbers pretty much and say, look at what you made last year compared to what you made this year.
Right.
And look at how God's blessed you and it's doing so much better and it's the right trajectory and you're making the right choices. And maybe he jumped in too fast. Mm-hmm. You never know. Like you can't be a slave to comparison. And you have to just be proud of the wins that you make and make that journey your journey.
Comparison's so poison.
Yeah. Yes. It's even on the other end, because you can, like personally, I've gotten to a point where I don't want to get bigger. I mean, it's as big as I am comfortable with, without going into a much different type of company. It's no longer a family company. It's no longer an owner. You're talking about branching out into a much bigger area of business. And some people will really like that. Personally, I like where I'm at, and I see companies get bigger and go, and sometimes I watch them do that, and then they crash because of that. And you have to make the business your business.
Yeah,
it's where you want it to be.
It's the truth.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great. I think a lot of what's been said today will be beneficial to those listening online, and I hope that something we said today will encourage them. You know, whether it's taking that step or just really aligning things before they make that step, or maybe they're already currently in that journey and they just need some encouragement. I would just say, you know, hold close to Christ. Like it's him that gets you through the days, usually when you're defeated and you have no more energy and you have to rely on something. And I personally believe relying on Christ is one of the greatest things you can do in life.
It makes everything a lot easier.
You got the easy button.
Yes.
That's easy. But thank you so much for joining me here on the LCI podcast. It's been a wonderful podcast. I know we were a little hesitant beforehand, but I think it was really good. I think something said we'll benefit someone. And just thank you so much for taking time out of your day here on the LCI podcast. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the LCI podcast.
You can listen more on our Apple Podcast or Spotify, and be sure to subscribe on our YouTube channel, Life Church Presents, for more future content.
Again, thank you, and we'll see you next time.